Thursday, the 28th of May, Erev Chag Shavuos, Rabbi Jeremy Golka, The Battle for Torah.
There's an interesting Gemara in Shabbos of Peches on the base, which is often mentioned at this time of year, around the time of Shavuos. And I'd like to learn through the Gemara, and hopefully a very interesting principle will emerge from it, which I once heard from Rabbi Roberts. The Gemara Shabbos says as follows: the Omer of Yeshua ben Levi, B'shar she'ola Moshe la'morah, at the time when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemaim, Omru Malachi Hashores lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Malachim said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono shel Olam, Ma liyulud isha beinenu, what is this human being, what is this man doing up here? Omer lohem, Kodesh Baruch Hu said back to the Malachim, the Kabel Torah bo, he's come to receive the Torah. Omer lefonov, the Malachim said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chamuda gnuza she gnuza lecha teisho meos v'shivim v'arba doiris koidim shenivra ha'ilam. This precious thing, this Torah, which has been hidden away for 974 generations, before you created the world, you want to simply give it away to human beings? It's such a special thing. How can you just give it away? Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Hechazer lohen tshuva. Answer them. You respond. Omer lefonov, so Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ribbono shelom, Misyarei omni, Shemi Yisrafuni beheva shabapihim. I'm scared. They're going to burn me. Omaloi, Echoiz bekise kvoidi, you hold on to my kise hakovet, v'chazor lohen tshuva, and then you give them an answer, and you'll be able to respond without getting injured. And the Gemara continues that Moshe Rabbeinu did indeed give an answer, and of course came back with the Torah. One of the difficulties with this Gemara is that clearly the Malachim were protesting that Moshe Rabbeinu should not get the Torah. The question is, why were they giving Moshe Rabbeinu such a hard time? What would it hurt them that Klal Yisrael had the Torah? If you think about it, the Torah is often compared to a candle, a light, Torah Ur. When you take from one candle to the next, nothing is diminished from the first one. So, just like they can learn Torah in the Mir, and they can learn Torah in Ponovich and in many other yeshivas, if a new yeshiva opens up and more Talmidim learn there, it's not diminishing from the other places where they learn Torah. So let the Malachim retain Torah, let them learn Torah in Shemaim, and if other people want to learn Torah, that should be in order. What was the objection of the Malachim? And furthermore, presumably, the Malachim weren't stum learning Torah. It's very difficult for us to understand what exactly they were doing. But Malachim, presumably, were learning some sort of esoteric, ruchnius, himmeldik Torah, which is just not suitable for us. So let them learn that shivim ponim Torah, that aspect of Torah, and we would learn what we learn now. So what exactly was bothering the Malachim? That's the first question that we're going to address today. Let's now move on to another Gemara. We'll ask another question and then Mitzvah will try and answer them. This also is another famous Gemara, a Gemara in Chulin Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara says over there as follows. It's the second Makor on the sheet. Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoir have a ka'oza lepidgin shavuim. One time, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoir was going on a mission to redeem some shavuim, some captives. Poga bay beginoi, he encountered the river Ginoi, Naharo. That was the name of the river. Omele, Ginoi, chaloikli meimecho. Split your waters, ve'er becho, so that I can pass through. Omele, so the river responded to Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoir, You are going to perform the Ratzon of Hashem. And I'm also now, by flowing, I'm also performing the Ratzon Hashem. Furthermore, Ata Sofek Oiseh, Sofek Iyata Oiseh. You, Pinchas Ben Yoeh, you're on a mission to redeem some captives. You may succeed, you may not succeed. Ani Mada Yoseh. But I'm flowing, I'm definitely doing what HaKadosh Baruch wants me to do. So, I'm not splitting. Omele, so Pinchas Ben Yoeh said, Im Iyato Cholek, if you don't split, Goizreini Olecho, I'm going to decree upon you, Shelo Yavr B'chomayim Lo'ilam, that you'll never flow again. Cholakli. So the river split. Didn't argue. Fine. The question is, and it's not specifically on this Gemara, because there are many other Gemaras where Amoraim, Tanoim seem to have some sort of control over nature. They could make gezeiras of a river, that the river should stop, should split, and not split. They can do seemingly supernatural things. The question is, why, when you look at this Gemara and other similar Gemaras, and you compare it to Kriyas Yamsuf, why is it that Amoraim and Tanoim could do things which seemingly Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't able to do? Moshe Rabbeinu, when he got to the Yam Suf wouldn't split. Eventually, later, Nachshon ben Aminodov got in, that happened. But the Midrashim explain, when Moshe got there and started these sort of arguments, it didn't work. For example, we'll see soon, the Midrashim say that when Moshe Rabbeinu got to the Yam Suf, he said split. And the Yam Suf responded, no, you were created on day 6 of Ma'aseh Bereishis. We were created on day 3 of Ma'aseh Bereishis. We're therefore older. We have precedence. We have priority. And therefore we come first. And Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't just say, Gozreini, I'm not going to do it. It had to take something which is beyond that, and Nachshon ben Aminodov, in order for the Yam Suf to split. So the question is, why could Amoraim and Tanoim do things which seemingly Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron, Bnei Yisrael didn't achieve? So those are the two issues. Issue number one is, what were the Malachim protesting so much about in Shabbos, Peches, and Beis? Why were they giving Moshe Rabbeinu such a hard time? And second of all, why did the Yam Suf not give in the same way that the rivers and other forms of nature gave in to certain Amoraim and Tanoim over the course of the years? Those are the two questions. Now, in order to answer these questions, let's take a look. It's an amazing Orach Chaim, an Orach Chaim HaKadosh in Parshas Beshalach. And I think with this, we'll get a very good understanding of what's going on over here. Says the Orach Chaim in Parshas Beshalach, first paragraph. Ochein, t'nai zeh, hu b'chlal ha-tnoim shehisne Hashem al kol ma'aseh bereishis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu inbuilt in Ma'aseh Bereishis, in the very creation, liyos kfufim la-teira v'amoleho, that nature has got to be subservient to Torah. V'la'aseh kol asher yigzur aleihem, and it's got to perform everything that is decreed against them. Umem shaltom aleihem, and the dominion over them, the control over them, that just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, has got total control over nature, at some level, Tzadikim and Tamdei Chachomim have got some sort of shlita, some sort of control over nature. V'lozeh timtze k'moikein b'shamayim uv'oretz v'kechovim uv'ashemesh v'yoreach sholtu aleim tzadikim yechidim. Certain Tzadikim yechidim have got some sort of control over Ma'aseh Bereishis. What does that mean? That means that a Tanai in Ma'aseh Bereishis is, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he said, it's not just me who's going to have control over Ma'aseh Bereishis, it's the Torah itself which is going to have control over Ma'aseh Bereishis. And that means, Talmidei Chachomim, Tzadikim Yechidim, says the Orach Chaim, who have got that grasp of Torah, they're also going to become Shutfim, as it were, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're going to become partners in creation, that they too have some sort of control over nature. So the Archaim is going to say that of course this control could only kick in after Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, it just wasn't possible. At Kriyas Yamsuf, which was of course before Matan Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu could stand there and could wave a wand saying, I'm representing Torah, but it's just not yet. It's pre-Matan Torah. Post-Matan Torah, Amoraim and Tanoim, once the Torah has been given and they have become partners of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they can control nature, no problem. But it's more than that. Let me share with you an amazing story that took place about 150 years ago. It's quite a well-known story, but it brings out the point very well. About 150 years ago, there was a man who lived in Vilna who had a very serious lung disorder. And he went to visit all the experts. And he once went to Vienna, there was a certain expert, and the expert told him that he should settle in Switzerland. Because in Switzerland the air is very clean and it's very good for him and it'll be easier for him. So he went home back to his wife in Vilna and he discussed what the expert had said. And he said, let's move. If it's going to be better for me, then let's take his advice. So he made arrangements and they started planning to move to Switzerland. And the night before he was going to leave, he had a dream. And his father came to him in the dream and said, don't go. So the son responded and said, well, the doctor said, the expert said, I should go, it's better, it's healthier, it's easier for me there. So the father said to him, look, let me explain to you. What you have got, the disease, the lung disease which you have got, is spoken about in halacha. And is actually subject to machlokas between the Mechaba and the Rama, that if a certain animal would have this lung disease, it's a machlokas, the Mechaba, the Rama, whether or not this animal would become treif. The Mechaba paskens is kosher, but the Rama says it's treif. The Shagas Arye, a Rav in Vilna, argued with the Rama and actually said that it's kosher. He said, you live in Vilna. And you, therefore, in Shemayim, we listen to the Shagas Arye for those people living in Vilna. And therefore, you, if you stay in Vilna, you'll be okay. If you leave Vilna and you go anywhere else in Europe, where, of course, the Ashkenazim would follow the Rama, that's it. You are going to be subject to the psak of the Rama. And the psak of the Rama is this animal's treifa. You won't make the year. When I told this story to my son, he said to me, why didn't you go to live in Eretz Yisrael? To be subject to the halachas of the Mechaba. I don't know. The chayr wasn't possible. The Beis Yosef, yeah. Okay, I don't know, good question. I don't know. Mistami couldn't go. But the point is that it's more than just having a control over the Bria. Torah creates a reality that if Torah gives a psak, if the Torah says a certain thing, that creates a sort of a natural reality. That creates a reality in Teva. So therefore, says the Rechaim, that pre-Matan Torah, that there wasn't that ability. The Chachomim, the Tzadikim, didn't have that capacity. Only post-Matan Torah they had that capacity. Let's take a look at the second paragraph of the Rechaim. V'hakol b'koyach ha-Torah. It all depends, it all is tolu on the koyach of Torah. V'hine b'yitzias Yisrael m'mitzrayim. When Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim, Adayin lo kiblu ha-Torah. They hadn't yet received Torah. Ve'ein gezeiros ma'al nivroim gezeira, and any gezeira which they impose on nature is not a gezeira. V'lozer lo hiskim hayom lecholek lahem, and therefore the Yam Suf wouldn't split. V'toan la Moshe, and it said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ata nivreisa bashishi v'ani bashlishi. You were created on day 6. And I was created on day 3. Zeremez ki eina ben Torah. That is a remez. That at that point, Moshe Rabbeinu was not yet a ben Torah. He didn't represent Torah. She'im hoya ben Torah. Because had he been a ben Torah, had he fully represented Torah, hinehu kaidim lo, he would in fact have preceded the river i.e. he would have preceded day three. Ki ha-Torah kodem lo'olam kulay. Because the Torah precedes the world. Istakel b'raisel b'ra'alma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked in the Torah and then created the world. U'chesher ra'ohu tekef. U'miyad nikra ketna arishim. And if he would have seen him then, straight away he would have split. Therefore, each tzaddik who comes along after Matan Torah, Yovi biyad ishtachov, he can bring this star along, as it were, echad lakuf lecholik lefonov, and he can create, he can ask the sea to split. V'tim seshek ishleirot lecholik, and you see, therefore, when the yam, the river, didn't want to split, l'ripinchas ben yoye, v'lhamislav imoin, and the person who was accompanying him, Rotzel Kainsei. Rapinchas ben Yoah said, Goisrein Yolecho. You're not doing what's agreed. The agreement is that after Matan Torah, we have control over you, and I can impose upon you that you've got to do it. Or Pachat Ayamimen, and the sea got scared. The point is that after my separations, you've got that control. By Lef, in his Sefer, Outlooks and Insights, he makes a beautiful observation. When you see an outstanding genius in the secular world, you make a bracha. You make a bracha, asher nosan mei chochmosai lebos avadam. Asher enken, if you see one of the Torah giants, you say, asher cholak mei chochmosai lireyav. What's the difference in the nusach of the bracha? When you see a brilliant Nobel Peace Prize professor, you say, asher nosan mei chochmosai lebos avadam. I.e., first of all, it's nosan. Nosan means it's just a gift from A to B. It's no longer with A, it's gone to B, and now it belongs to B, but he remains the boss of the Dom. Masha'enken, when you see a tzaddik, you see a Talmud Chacham, you say, Asher cholak mechochmosei, the boss of the Dom. He is taken, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taken of himself, and he's sharing it with someone else. He's giving it to someone else who becomes, as it were, a shutuf in my separations. He's a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were. That's exactly this point. Rabbi Shmuel, in his first sefer, he says, on Parshas Bukhkesai, he brings a very interesting Oznaim LaTorah. The Medrash says, on the Pasuk, Chukim Shebohem Chukakti Shemayim V'Oretz. The Oznaim LaTorah says, what does that mean? Chukim Shebohem Chukakti Shemayim V'Oretz, the laws upon which I created the world, says the Oznaim LaTorah, that means, Al Yedei Amelus BaTorah Zoich Odom Lohovin Yoni HaTeva. That through learning Torah, the person can control and can understand Teva. V'hem is zeh b'divra ha-gemor in Megillah al tikri halichas ele halochas. The famous Gemara Shirat Saloma al yedei limud halocha, that through learning halocha zoiche odem lehovin chukei ha-teva shehim halichas o'ilom. That's exactly this point. There's an amazing insight in a Gemara in Yevamos which again brings this point out. Let's take a look at the final makar, the bottom of the omer. The Gemara in Yevamos daf kuf chaf aleph omer aleph. Tanya, Omer Rabbi Gamliel, pam achas, one time, hoyisi mahalech besvina. I was going on a ship, veroisi svina achas shenishbara, and I saw a certain ship that broke. Voyisi mitzdae al talmid chochem shebov, and I was very upset. Because there was a great Talmud Chochem who was on that boat which sank. Umanu, and who was that Talmud Chochem on the boat that sank? Rabbi Akiva. It was none other than Rabbi Akiva. Uchoshe olisi bi'abosha. And when I went on to dry land, bo v'yosha v'don nefona b'halacha. I couldn't believe it. I was sitting there in the Beis HaMedrash, and suddenly Rabbi Akiva walked in. Amarti loy, so I said to Rabbi Akiva, b'ni, mi helcho? Who brought you out of the? How did you survive? Omali, so he said to me, "Daf shel svina nizdami." A daf, a plank of the ship, came my way. V'chol gal v'gal shero alai, and every wave that came over me, nenesi l'reish, I sort of ducked under it, and I held on to this daf shel svina, which incidentally, when Ramesh Shapiro inaugurated the daf yomi. I think it was either on the inauguration, on the first siyum, he stood up and he quoted this Gemara, and al pidrush he said that in the Gemara, which says Barasi Yetzahara Barasi Teretavdin, he says the way to save ourselves in such windy and turbulent times is by holding on to the daf. The daf shasfin and is daminli, and that's, I held on to the daf, and that's what saved me. And he says that was his drush on the plug for Daf Yomi, that he would hold on to the daf and that would save him. So that's what Rabbi Kiva answered. Mikan omru chachomim. So as a result of this incident, the chachomim said, im yavo reshoim al odom ya'aneh lo resho. Don't, if reshoim come by, you don't sort of fight them too much. You've got to just sort of give in like Rabbi Akiva gave in and sort of let the wave wash over him. So amarti ba'isashah. So I said, Rabbi Gamliel says, at that moment, when I saw Rabbi Akiva survive the shipwreck and come onto dry land, I said, Kamo gedolim divrei chachomim. How great are the words of the chachomim, she'omru, mayim she'yesh lo himsof muteres, mayim she'ein lo himsof asuro. What does that mean? It's a cloud in the Gemara Nivamas. That if a person, Rachmon Islam, sees someone drown, imagine he's sitting by a pool, like a swimming pool, or around a ditch of water, and he can see the whole area. And if he sees a man go under, and he waits there for a while, and the guy doesn't get up, so obviously he's drowned. Because he can see any possible area where he could have escaped, he didn't escape. So therefore, if he looks, then he's there, then his wife is allowed to remarry. That can be proper edus that the guy has died, and his wife can remarry. But if it's mayim she'ein lo himsof, he's standing by the seashore, and he can't see the ends, he can't see the whole thing, and the guy goes under, so that is not necessarily confirmed that the guy died, because maybe he's sort of washed up further along the shore, he didn't see it. So the Gemara says many times, in the end there in Nivamas, mayim she'yesh lo himsof muteres, mayim she'ein lo himsof, there's no boundaries, you can't see the boundaries, asura. That's the normal way of understanding the Gemara. The Klausenberger Rebbe, Zatzal, says a brilliant insight to this Gemara. He says, "What is pshat ma'im sheyesh lo himsof muteres? Ma'im sheyesh lo himsof muteres, ma'im sheyein lo himsof asura." It means that because the chachomim paskent that ma'im sheyein lo himsof is asura, that if someone drowns in the sea and ain lo himsof asura, therefore that creates the reality that a person could survive. It's the other way around. In other words, a man is standing by the seashore, and he dies. And the Chachom of Paskin, Mayim She'en Lo Himsof, he's gone under. We don't know if he survived or not. Chazal of Paskin, Mayim She'en Lo Himsof, Asura. That means that there is a Chazal with Choshesh, maybe the guy survived. The Klausenberger Rebbe says that means that that Chazal have been Koveya. They've created a sort of a halachic reality that the man could survive. And therefore, it's because of Chazal that the person has the abilities to survive. I'll conclude with an amazing story that I heard from Rabbi Roberts, also regarding the Klausenberger Rebbe. It's a story that took place only 15 or so, 20 years ago. The story happened as follows. A Klausenberger Chassid, a young bacher, was walking in America, and he came to visit his parents. And he was a bit of an absent-minded young man, and he went to visit his parents. And as he was going up the block of flats, he didn't notice there were some building works on the staircase, and he missed the stair, and he basically went over the side of the edge of the staircase, and he fell many stories, and he survived, but he incurred terrible injuries, and he had spinal damage, and he was very, very seriously ill. And of course they ran, and they told the parents, and the parents were distraught, they ran to the hospital, and it was looking, you know, hit and miss whether the young man was going to survive. And the prognosis was very grim, that even if he would survive, the possibility of normal life afterwards was almost zero. And the parents ran to tell to the Klausenberger Rebbe. They wanted some sort of etzer, so they should daven for him. And normally, when people go to the Klausenberger Rebbe, when they went there, for a Fush Lema, he would take out a Sefer Tehillim, and he would say a Kapitel Tehillim, and then he would say, give a bracha and wish the person a Fush Lema. But this time, when he heard more details of the case, he wanted clarification, and he asked lots of questions, medical questions. This, what exactly has he done, the spinal injury, he wanted more and more details. And he asked to be excused for a bit, and he went into his study, and he closed the door. And the Gabba saw that he was taking out Svarim, and he was learning, and he was looking, and he was there for an hour and a half. And he was writing. And afterwards he came out, and he wished the person a Refuah Shleima, and that was that. So the Gabba said to him, what's going on? Why all of a sudden have you changed your course of action? So he said, the Klausenberg Rebbe said, that I am aware, when I heard this injury, I'm aware that this is a tumult in the Rishonim. The Rishonim discussed this very situation in Hilchos Trefa, that if an animal has this sort of spinal injury, that again, this is a shail in the poskim. And he wanted to write a tshuva. The Klausenberg Rebbe wrote shailas and tshuvas. So I wanted to write a tshuva, to look into it, that I felt that I could be mutter this case, that it would not be a trefa, the animal would be kosher. And indeed, he wrote a tshuva, and the animal should be kosher in such a situation. And the kid had a refuah shleima. Within a few days, he was walking. That's what I have for Rabbi Roberts. It's exactly this point, that the reason why the Malachim were giving Moshe Rabbeinu such a tough time is not stum learning Torah. If you learn Torah here, you can learn Torah there. What's going on in the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Pei Ches, is there's much more. What's at stake is, are you going to be a shutuf with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Maisa Bereishis? Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to hand over the keys to you, that you have got the capacity to be a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in creating a natural reality through Halacha? That's what's going on. So of course the Malachim were resisting it. And that explains the Gemara in Chulin Davzai, that after Matan Torah, these Nisim, through the Gemara, they come to a penny. But before Matan Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron, Klal Yisrael, they couldn't just split the Yom Suf without some sort of other intervention. So what you see from these Gemaras and from this Yesoid is what happened at this time of year at Shavuos and Matan Torah, when Moshe Rabbeinu succeeded in arguing the Malachim, is that not only Moshe Rabbeinu, but every tzaddik and every dar has got the power to be a partner of the Kodesh Baruch Hu in my separations. And Mitzvah Hashem, we should be Zoche to become partners and to see that as well. Amen. Amen. Amen.